Let us pray. Lord, it is our prayer this evening that we may abide in the risen life of Jesus Christ, that we may bear the fruit of love for one another and know the fullness of joy. Amen. Tonight, we give thanks to God for Christ, the true vine. And this evening in my sermon, I want to explore the depth of meaning that this image has for us. I want to share with you three aspects. Firstly, this vine is an ancient vine, an ancient vine. As those first disciples heard Jesus say, "I am the true vine," it would have been a picture that would have been very familiar to them. For the land of Israel was covered with vineyards. The vine was used in the Old Testament as the symbol for God's relationship with his chosen people. Isaiah spoke of the house of Israel as the vineyard of the Lord. Jeremiah said that God had planted Israel as his choice vine. The prophet Hosea pointed out that because of Israel's unfaithfulness to God, they had become like an empty vine, fruitless. This is the story of the Lord's people, which winds through the Old Testament like a trailing vine. They are the vineyard of the Lord Almighty. And from beginning to end, God's role is the vine dresser, the expert gardener. So through Hebrew history, the grapevine became the symbol of Israel. The vine has ancient roots. But Jesus gave this image new direction, new meaning. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." Perhaps he meant something like this. You know that the vine is symbolic of Israel, and it is supposed to produce luscious grapes, a rich harvest. Well, the nation has failed to do so. But I, on the other hand, I am the authentic vine, the true vine. I am the fulfillment of everything that is suggested by the symbol. Christ, as the true vine, speaks to us about fulfillment. And it is a powerful symbol. I am the vine, you are the branches. This speaks of unity and harmony, a relationship. And those who are baptized into Christ are grafted in to this true vine, this ancient vine. Listen to these words of the former Bishop Wand of London, who writes about the ancient vine. Those who are baptized into Christ are grafted into him. When we are made members of his body, his life flows through us, just as the sap of the new twig and of the tree into which it is grafted mingle together. This is the essential meaning of Christianity. It is incorporation into Christ. Christianity is not a sentiment. It is not a mere system of beliefs. It is not just a code of conduct. It is not a mechanical organization. It is to be incorporated into Christ, to be made a member of his body, and so to be filled with his life. Christianity is a life, and that life is Christ. To be a Christian is much more than to be good, or to attend church, or to believe. All these things have their places in a complete Christian life. But the basis of that life is to be incorporated into Christ and to have his life running through one's veins. That is the beginning. It is to be born again, to be a new creation, and from that, everything else should follow. We give thanks for the ancient vine, and we see that this is a living vine, and this is the second aspect I want to share, the living vine. Christ is alive, and our life is in him. And so, the single most important thing for us to do as Christians is to remain in him, to remain and to keep that vital connection to Jesus, the living vine. Jesus put it this way: remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. And the King James Version uses that word abide rather than remain. But they both mean to keep that unbroken connection, that union. And John uses this word, abide or remain, or a derivative, over 50 times in his writings in the New Testament, and 11 times here in John 15 alone. So this call to abide in Christ is an encouragement to keep going, to keep growing in relationship with him. How? Well, through listening to what God is saying to us, to have an open heart where we examine our lifestyle through prayer and worship. We remain with him through reading his word and obeying his commandments. We abide in him as we meet in fellowship with other Christians, when we serve one another, when we give of ourselves, when we are his witnesses, we are abiding, we are remaining in him. He is the living vine, the source of our life. And when we remain in him, then we become fruitful. And this is my final aspect. We have heard how he is the ancient vine, the living vine. And now we say he is the fruitful vine. Our relationship with Jesus is one that should bear fruit. Abiding in Christ makes us fruitful Christians. The fruit of the Spirit grows within us and is seen over the years as we remain in him. And others who look at us can see that change and growth as we reveal the fruit of the vine, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as Paul described: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all segments of the one fruit. And we can only hope to produce these fruit as we remain close to Jesus, as we draw our life from his. And remaining in him will mean change and growth. Indeed, change is the only sign of growth. It is the rule of nature. For a plant, for a child, for the Christian, change is the sign of growth. Yes, we fear change, but with the help that God gives, we can embrace it and look for the fruit that that change will bring. So this fruit of the Spirit is a work in our hearts, but it is also not only for the building up of our own character, but it is for the benefit of others. Christ is selfless, and as the true vine, his fruit is fruit that is given away. Fruit that brings joy, pleasure, and sustenance as we abide in the vine. We bear fruit for God, for others. And what keeps us fruitful is that work of pruning. So finally, a word about pruning. It's a part of life and growth, a part of abiding in Christ. Sometimes, as we go through life, there are seasons of pruning, different for each Christian. Times when we are stripped back, and it is painful, and it may make us sad or angry. We feel the loss. We feel vulnerable. We feel small and inadequate. And at those times, we recognize our utter dependency on God. And we confess that we don't understand everything or see the whole picture. And at those times when much is cut away, when we see no fruit, we feel laid bare before God. We may feel cut down or cut off. What shall we do in those times? Well, when that pruning comes, it's best for us not to look at what's on the surface, but to consider what lies beneath. All we can say for sure is that the root of the vine is firmly in place. Our roots of faith run deep in God. And we have to trust God that in time, in his perfect time, new life and new growth and new fruit will come. And I'm sure that we can testify to that today as we have been brought through those seasons of pruning. So pruning is part of abiding. We may not welcome it, but it is a season of growth, just as much as the fruit-bearing seasons of our Christian life. So to close in summary, we give thanks today for Christ, the true vine. It is the ancient vine, the fulfillment of the ancient promise. It is the living vine. We are grafted in and receive his living life, which flows through our veins. We give thanks for the fruitful vine, fruit to be given away. Even giving thanks for the pruning by our Heavenly Father, the vine dresser, and trust that he will bring forth fruit in his time. Our prayer this evening is, Lord, may we always abide, remain in you, knowing that you will always abide with us, whatever comes to pass. Amen. Let us pray as we reflect on those words and what God is saying to us. Amen.